Hey y'all, welcome back to this week's episode of the podcast. We are in part two of a series I did with my friend Chastity, where we were talking about all things mental health and faith. And so I am so excited for y'all to hear part two of this episode, because we're really going to dig into what it looks like to actually start to begin to address some of the things that you might be experiencing in your life and how it impacts your faith. So I hope you enjoy part two of this part one and part two series. If you have not listened to part one, definitely go back and listen to part one so you can hear about Chastity and her story. And let's get into the episode. The Therapy is a Christian podcast is all things mental health and Christ. We specifically talk about how mental health and God are merged together to foster growth, healing, and making mental health a normal conversation. I'm your host, Roz and Renee, and welcome to the show. The things that, especially if you are a believer and you have a relationship with God, It gets convoluted into the things that he pushes us towards. And then God is like, I can handle that. But you're like, I don't even know where this is coming up. So like, I don't even know what to pray. I don't know what sermon to look up on YouTube. Yeah. I don't know who to ask for help, because I am over here drowning in, I don't know. And so seeking, like you said, seeking the help gave you the opportunity to just like say, I don't really know what's going on, but I need to start taking this mask off, essentially.
Yes. And with that journey, that basically started my mental health journey for me, seeking professional help. And on that journey, I was able to gain the tools I needed to help me kind of direct the way my life was going. And it also helped me to learn how to bear through the labor pains of where my purpose were taking me. Oh my gosh, I do not regret at all. I still go to a therapist, the therapist is a therapist, So I have gained so much, because it's conversations and it's words that are spoken out loud that you don't have with yourself or anyone else, or even with God, like you mentioned.
Or which is why, like I was saying, and some of the work I do with clients is around just basic emotional identification. Because we think, and most of us as Black women, we think it's us. We think we're the problem, that, or we blame other people and say they're the issue and all of this, without really understanding, like, some of this is we've just avoided emotion at all costs. We don't want to deal with it. And so we internalize it and we think, I can just succeed my way through this. Or I can just hide behind this, or I can just like make it seem like everything is fine, and it's not. And so it becomes a stumbling block long term, because you never then give yourself the opportunity to address really what's going on, because it's painful. Like you said, the labor pains are really like, and I think when I talk about counseling and faith, I think what I like to say is that really what you're doing is you're unlearning narratives that didn't serve you, or didn't serve you in a way that also served your faith. Because a lot of us have grown who may or may not have grown up in church. I grew up in church. I remember getting saved at 8 years old. And so I remember just hearing narratives and things, and still to this day, like, hear my mama say stuff that I'd be like, I don't know if that even, but that's fine. And just like hearing things of that can be very judgmental and shameful.
And you saying now at your, where you are now, when you hear it, you're kind of like,
or performance based or conditional. Like I had this recent revelation with, I work with like a mindset coach. And one of the things we were talking about was, I was talking to her about how my trust with God was so impacted this year, because my struggle came from obedience. So I'm being obedient to you, but I'm experiencing all these struggles And I don't understand why you got me going through all this and I'm obedient to you. It didn't make sense. It just did not make sense to me. One thing she talked about was, it seems like a conditional, if I do this, then you'll do this kind of thing. Mm. And when you feel that way, like I think I was telling her about how I lost my breast milk stash 2 days before I had took my licensure exam. And I was upset and I said, God, you and I got a relationship. Mm-hmm. You didn't give me no indication, no prompting from the Holy Spirit. And I was really upset. And I was mad because I'm like, I'm trying my best to be obedient. I'm trying to walk this walk with you.
Right.
And here I am met with, and she was like, but we're not promised we're not going to struggle. Mm-hmm. And then I also came back and I said, the rest of the time my son was on breast milk, it was donated to us or I had a supply. So he was able to still have breast milk up until one, but I was so fixated on why
the way you thought it was going.
Why didn't you tell me?
Mm-hmm.
And so it became an if then. And so the disappointment that comes with obedience, like God is not going to be conditional.
Yeah,
he's unconditional. And it doesn't mean because the circumstances didn't happen the way you perceive it to be,
right,
that he's still not going to be God. But we have to sit in the disappointment and be okay with, when we go through the struggle of having a baby 18 years old, he's still going to provide.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to make a way. I can still be accepted. I can still be seen. But it's not disappointing. It's not saddening.
No, it wasn't. And it makes me think about, I was just watching Sarah J. Roberts. That's my girl. She's my best friend in my head. But she was just talking about that, the bright side and the dark side of hope. And she was kind of speaking of Mary's perspective, how, you know, the angel came to her with all these good things. Your son is going to be the king of kings. He's going to be the Lord. So Lord, he's going to save the people. Like, yes. And, you know, she didn't think about, because the angel did say he's going to be pierced on his side. But, you know, hearing all these good things, you didn't really pay attention to the, you know, it's going to be some dark side of that hope. And fast forward to her being at the cross and seeing her son going through all of this struggle and pain and agony, just hearing him crying out because he was in human flesh. Like, imagine, like, you're going to be screaming in agony. You're seeing his bones and flesh being ripped open. And that was the dark side of the hope. And Sarah was even saying, like, even in that moment, Jesus told her, you know, go with your son, like, go with James, go with him. And he told James, take your mother and go. And she was saying that Jesus gives us permission to look away from the dark side and to move forward. Because what you see right now, it may look like I'm dying. It may look like the situation is dying, but I'm not dying. It's not dead. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going to rise up on the third day. Mm-hmm. I'm destroying the thing that you think that is trying to destroy me, but I'm destroying it in the works and the faith. But you can't see it right now, what it's doing. But just know that there's some bright side of hope. There's some bright side of this walk of faith. There's some glorious things that, you know, we're going to receive in our prayers. But baby girl, it's going to come with losing that milk before you take this big test. But do you trust me?
And I failed the test. So that was another thing.
No, you did not.
Girl, failed the
test. You might have physically.
No. Like, yeah. So I failed the test even after that. And I was, I mean, girl, you couldn't tell. And I was like, this is just ghetto. I don't even understand this.
But that's even the testimony, like, even that part, like, because some people go, yeah, like, you can't, right?
Yeah, it took me three times, because I was trying to understand, like, God, why you keep telling me to take this test? Mm-hmm. I was a month out after having Elijah took the first test. I took it three times before I passed it. Mm-hmm. And so I think, but going back to, like you said, the dark side of hope, I think that goes back to why you have to address the trauma. Mm-hmm. Because it is dark, but in every part of the Bible, God is always speaking to our infirmities, our transgressions, our sin. the ugly parts of us. Jesus always said, repent for your sins. Why are you constantly always talking about this ugly side of us versus the part of us that's like, oh, cute and all that? Right. Because it has to be talked about.
Right. Yep.
People that weren't able to experience healing and hope until they experienced coming to Jesus with the ugly parts of them. Peter was turned up, okay? Couldn't get ears off and, you know, all kind of stuff. And he, even then, Jesus is like, I'm going to build my church on you. And so I think that goes into kind of like, for you specifically with your mental health journey, and even the women that you have experienced and helped, what are some of the things you see constantly come up with some of the clients you help and also some of the women you help in ministry?
It's basically what we've been talking about, the unspoken thing. Because a lot of times I see that it is generational. You know, grandma, you didn't know your grandma was dealing with it. You didn't know your mama and aunties was dealing with it. And now you're dealing with it because no one wanted to talk about it. And it's a lot of that hidden hurt or the things that I've been through and I didn't, you know, I didn't have no one to go through. So I just kept walking in it. And now it's a lot of therapy is about unpacking it. And one of the things I always tell my clients that are dealing with trauma, if we're doing trauma therapy, I'm like, look, if you're not ready to talk about this, because you're going to have to be exposed mentally, and it may come with stirring up them old feelings. You may feel like that little girl back in that bedroom again. You may feel like that little boy that's being torn apart and beaten up and abused. Those emotions are going to come up for you. But just know that you're not going over the situation anymore. You're not deadening that pain anymore. You're not trying to numb it, but you're actually going through it. And when you go through something, you're going to eventually have to get to the other side of things. So sometimes we got to go through the fields. We got to go through the trials and tribulations. We got to go through those things because, it, like the word said, it helps build our endurance. It helps build our character.
And it also helps build our self-awareness because most of the time this stuff is hidden. And the first thing that can happen when things are hidden is the enemy can play on that and you won't even know.
Yes. Because when you don't know that you have these insecurities, and we go back to the garden, Adam and Eve, you know, he was able to play off of Eve's insecurities because she wasn't as quote unquote confident as Adam. You know, because she wasn't first. She's waking up into a new thing. Adam naming animals. He walking around and knowing what to do.
This episode of the God and Mental Health Podcast is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. I am so excited to tell y'all about this brand because it has been so helpful to me. So I am not in my 20s anymore. And as I'm getting older, I'm really kind of understanding a little bit more about my hormones after having two kids. I'm really understanding like my mood shifts, my fatigue, sometimes my stress throughout the month, especially during those cycles of time before my period. So I recently started researching cycle seeking, and it was so helpful for me because I really kind of began to understand these different changes when I am feeling overwhelmed, when I am feeling tired, when I am feeling like my mood is different. I'm also just experiencing some of those kind of early PMS symptoms of like bloating and gassy and poor sleep and kind of racing thoughts and low mood. And so I started doing some research into cycle syncing and kind of came to understand that our different periods before our cycle change because of our hormones. And so I was thinking about a way to combat this, and Happy Mammoth is a brand that I think is going to be super helpful to some of my audience that might be experiencing some of these things. And so I think a lot of times we kind of associate our different moods with something's wrong with us or that there is actually something that we're struggling with mental health wise, but not really understanding that as a woman, we naturally have up and down moods because of our hormones. And so for me, if you are someone that's maybe in your mid-20s and you're kind of seeing like during different periods of the month, you're more sad or you're more overwhelmed, this might be a good opportunity for you to maybe supplement and try to combat that with some of the amazing products at Happy Mammoth. So I want to talk to you all about particularly one specific product called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormone changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And it means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. If you're someone that definitely struggles with maybe bloating or maybe sleep or even racing thoughts or low moods, Hormone Harmony would be perfect for you. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order with Happy Mammoth. Just use the code THERAPY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPMAMMOTH.com, and use the code THERAPY for 15% off today. Now, let's get back to the show.
I'm in this beautiful place. You know, I'm giving this purpose, but I don't know what to do. I'm still feeling lost and insecure. I'm still feeling, you know, and at the time she didn't even know, but the enemy, you know, was able to play off of that because she was not aware of the insecurities that she had in that. And when you're able to finally see what's going on, you're able to address it. Like you said, I'm doing it again. I'm feeling a little jealous. I'm feeling, why I'm feeling this way looking on social media? Why I'm rolling my eyes? Why can't I like it? Why I'm scrolling over it? What's going on with me?
But I think even that right there is a place that people don't even know. We just kind of sit in comparison, we sit in insecurity. And instead of saying, what is wrong with me? We just internalize it and beat ourselves up.
And keep going.
And there's a reason why. And I think that's what you're saying is like those hidden things that we don't address end up manifesting themselves in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, because I did not address, if we go back off of me, I did not seek counseling for myself. My family didn't know, you know, nothing about, oh, she's pregnant. She may be going through a lot of things. You know, she had all these high hopes and expectations of doing this and that. And now her life is about to be changed forever. No one thought like, maybe we should go get her some counseling, you know? So I was dealing with those insecurities like we spoke in earlier, and it still arose in my late 20s. And although it was the same devil with a new face, I needed to finally address what's going on with me. Mm-hmm. And now that I know what it is, I'm able to point it out. I'm able to know what it is and able to handle it. Now I'm able to not only talk to other women about it, but also talk to my son about it. Let him know what's on game, what's out here. You know, some of the things that I remember his dad going through, I exposed that to him. Like, you finna know everything that you're about to face in this territory. I was talking to him at 10 years old. Some people are like, I can't believe you talking to your son about all this sex and everything. Yes, honey, because I'm in this world. And at that time, I was a mentor back in my old high school. And I know what conversations are being had on these cell phones. And I'm not going to be in denial thinking that just because I'm raising him this way, I don't know how other people are raising their kids or what they're going through and what they can expose my son to. So I'm not about to just sweep it on the rug like generations of my family did. Because no one was having real conversations with me about sex. No one was having real conversations with me about love. Like, yes, I was receiving parental love and family love. And yes, my dad told me I was beautiful growing up and all these things. But he still didn't talk to me about relationships. My mom would say, you know, don't have sex. You know, yes, I seen my cousins, you know, some of my cousins having babies as teenagers. Yes, I know that wasn't right and all these things. I grew up in a church, but yet no one told me about the soul ties. No one told me about the heartache and the heartbreak. No one really put me on game. I didn't feel comfortable to talk to my parents about when I was going through heartbreak and situations. So they can help me in my heart instead of having another little boy mending my heart. And by me not knowing what it is, not me not knowing that my mom also deal with daddy issues, not knowing, you know, what was going on, I didn't know how to address it at 18. And it wasn't until I was 29 when I'm like, okay, something needs to be done here. And now that I have those tools in my tool bags, and it also helped me to create a method, which I teach to my clients, and I help the other women in my community work on this method that I'm able to create. It's now not only helped me to break free, but I'm able to help others to break free as well, because I'm not keeping this to myself. I'm not gonna just, this just for me in my house. No, I'm all about kingdom building.
And I think there's a freedom in being able to share transparently that piece, because you're not tied to then at that point, the opinions of other people. You're not tied to, I think I read this scripture earlier this week and I was like, oh, this makes so much sense when Paul had the thorn and he said, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And I got to look back through what I read about grace being sufficient for us. But what
I love,
hold on, I actually have it. So what I saw was that grace within itself means loving kindness and favor. Sufficient means to be possessed of unfailing strength to be enough. So God is basically saying, look, my loving kindness and favor is enough for you to kind of push through this. And so Paul had basically said, I would now rather boast in my weakness and share, and boast meant overly share. These are Greek definitions. To boast or praise about, overly share. And this is the exact opposite of what we do as humans, because we don't share. It's like, oh no, I'm just gonna close up. And what he was saying was, I would rather boast about it, because at that point it's made perfect.
Yeah, that's what we call it in therapy world, post-traumatic growth. The enemy cannot keep using these insecurities that I have against me, feeling like I have to overachieve just to fill in that void of the 18-year-old girl that's inside of me, to feel like I have to make these accomplishments to gain the approval and the love of my family again.
Facts.
You can't use that against me anymore.
You can't. And that becomes the power, because at that point, it's like, I know at that point God got me, and I can be weak before him, and I can even be weak in front of people. And I think Jesus represented a lot of that, where he was weak in front of people, on like he was put as a spectacle of weakness in front of other people. And so I think that just becomes a tie into where we need to be looking at within our mental health and things we've experienced. Not saying you gotta, you know, go above and beyond to share, but just be transparent.
Right. Because a part of the trauma therapy I was speaking of is to share your story, not in a way to make you feel exposed and vulnerable, like in a sense of weak, because vulnerability does not mean weakness.
Facts.
But it's to share, because it even says in the word, the power of your testimony is going to give you strength and help you to break free, but it's also going to help others come closer to God as well. So by me sharing my story to those, to hold up to those that deserve, because everybody don't deserve your story. Everybody didn't go receive it.
Yeah, we're not saying y'all like go tell
50,000
people or tell you the 300 people that follow you on Instagram, everything. We're not saying that,
but right.
We're talking about being like authentically vulnerable and understand that that's okay.
Yes. And in that, you're able to gain power and strength. I am no longer a victim, but I am able to use my adversities that was held against me and use it for my own power, for my own strength, for my own advantage. I'm using this thing to help other women. Yes, I may have been molested or raped or abused, and I felt shame about it. You know, people didn't believe me. Yes, I was a foster child and, you know, went from home to home and all these things, and people try to make me feel ashamed, like no one loved me. But I'm able to use that thing and to get the help I need to conquer that thing. And now I'm able to see young girls. I don't, when they say hey to me, I know what that hey sounds like. Everybody else don't know what that hey sound like, because they ain't been through what I've been through, but I recognized it. Something going on with her. Now God is able to strengthen you, that you have this skill set and this ability to see past through people mad.
Facts.
To see through the fakeness.
Facts, for sure.
And able to pour in that cup.
for sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. So why don't you kind of tell us where people can find, well, tell everyone where they can find you, and or if they're interested in possibly being part of your community, just give us all the tea, sis.
Okay, so you can
also share you have some stuff coming up where you get to work with some women for a period of time. Talk about that too.
Okay, so you can go to our website, bossupyourfaith.life. In their website, you will find information, upcoming events they will have in the community. But if you would like to get more intimate with us, we are available. We come together 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 7 a.m. Central for prayer and teaching and venting and all those good things. We try our best to get out because we know everybody got to do their thing and go to work. But sometimes the spirit be strong, honey. I have videos on Instagram where I'm dripping in sweat after some of those prayer calls. And I'm like, y'all make me out to get in the shower all over again before work, you know, because we are most definitely bringing heaven onto earth when we gather together. So we, those Zoom links are available to jump onto our prayer line. It's on our Facebook page, Boss Up Your Faith. You can find us on GroupMe. I made the link public now because a lot of people are like, we can't find you on GroupMe. So now you can actually find us on GroupMe, Boss Up Your Faith, and I will add you onto our group page as well. I do have a Boss Up Your Faith heart-to-heart retreat that is going to start in February the 4th, the first Saturday in February. This is a 3-month retreat, limited seating, because God was telling me that I'm, you know, need to like really do some things, intimate setting, that I want to make sure every woman's story is being heard and being shared. So this is limited seating, but this is a 3-month retreat. This is for 3 months where you are coming together, healing your heart, being in an intimate, safe space with other soul-like women.
And this is virtual, correct?
Yes, this is virtual. And we're going to meet every Saturday morning and coming together. And I'm telling you, if you are saying, okay, in 2023, I am not only, quote unquote, new me, I don't really like that term, but more involved, you know, me, a better version of myself. This is the retreat you do not want to miss. I'm guaranteed that you are going to receive something. I promise you, baby, mark my words. This retreat was not created by me, but most definitely created by the Holy Spirit. And it is time for women to not be falling for that thing that's trying to hold them down and make them feel ashamed. But it is time, baby, for you to own that thing, that thing that's been trying to make you feel embarrassed and ashamed and make you want to keep different parts of yourself secret. It is time for you to own that thing, and it's time for you to work on that thing, not just for you and your healing, but it's people that God wants you to touch and to speak to, and you're not gonna be able to do it until you get your own breakthrough. So this is a 3-month retreat. It's limited seating. It starts in February. You can get your tickets on our website, bossupyourfaith.life.
And I'll put all of the information in the show notes for everyone, along with your Instagram, the GroupMe link, as well as the link to the retreat. So you can look for all of that information in the show notes of the podcast. So thank you, Chastity. Thoroughly enjoyed our conversation so much, and I pray that it blesses some other people. So I will see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.